Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us, No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It was a fun one last night at Minute Maid Park. After a much-needed day off, the Astros offense finally came back to life in the fourth inning. They were down 4-0. Aledmys Diaz hits that grand slam. It was absolutely magical. And then Jose Altuve, Kyle Tucker contributing. And the Astros, like I said, win 7-5, game one of a three-game series against the Rangers. However, this is a sports talk radio station, so we shall talk the sports. And there was no Trey Mancini in the lineup, no Chaz McCormick. And a lot of people wondered about this. Joe Espada, of course, is the manager, quote-unquote, right now. But Dusty Baker is still making the lineup, says he's at home recovering from COVID.
And Espada, when asked about one specific decision, the fact that instead of putting Chaz McCormick, who hits very well against lefties, against the Rangers starting pitcher, he said, I did not ask Dusty that. Dusty is apparently running the lineups. We do have a ton of confidence in Jake Meyer, so that's why he's penciled in there. And, you know, what's interesting, Martin Perez, a lefty for the Rangers, has been really good against the Astros. So the conversations are consistently going to be till the end of the year because of the Astros' lack of depth in the outfield. Why is Dusty Baker doing X, Y, or Z with the lineup? You noticed this last night before the game started. Trey Mancini's not in the outfield. Trey Mancini's not anywhere. There have been seven games that Mancini's been a part of the roster. He has started in just four of them. He has pinch hit in two of them. You'd think, okay, he's doing some pregame work in left field with Gary Pettis. Maybe it's time to see him actually in the outfield. And yet, he didn't play. So the first question about the lineup is, what is the mentality, the decision-making, the thought process behind any decision with Trey Mancini? I, for the life of me, can't figure it out.
I can't either, especially since he made such a good first impression. It's not like he came here, because when they got those new acquisitions, I think it was Dusty that said sometimes it takes guys a little bit to adjust. He saw that a little bit with Christian Vasquez, mainly because they were playing the team that he literally got traded from, where it was like he needed a game to get like mentally right. You didn't see that with Mancini at all. He, the first game that he started, hits the home run, then he goes to Cleveland, has the solo home run, the grand slam. So with Mancini, it's not like he struggled at all. So I thought it was an interesting decision. I don't mind some load management here now, you know, every now and then. But as we get into the playoffs, don't you want to let Mancini get kind of into that rhythm?
Yes. And I look, you traded for the guy. What's the point of trading for the guy? Just to say, all right, break in case of emergency offensively in the playoffs? Strange. So that's the first question. And going back to the second that led to the question that was asked yesterday of Espada, why didn't Chaz McCormick, who slashes 338, 413, 606 against lefties, start over Jake Meyers? In fact, why does Jake Meyers play, period? I'm sorry. If Chaz McCormick is healthy and you have these questions in the outfield without Michael Brantley, you use Jake Meyers occasionally. You use Jake Meyers for defense. But McCormick is very good defensively, I think. He's played 42 games in left field.
He was great in Cleveland.
Right. 31 in center field, 14 in right field this year. He should be playing over Jake Meyers every single game unless he is injured.
Martin Perez, by the way, not only one of the best left-handers in the league, but statistically plays the best against the Astros out of any left-handed pitcher in the league. So that was a major question. They get away with it because they have guys like Aledmys Diaz that randomly hit a grand slam. But it is something to watch as we inch towards the playoffs. We knew when Dusty Baker was hired, whatever it was 2 years ago, every place that he's managed, Dusty Baker's lineup has been a question.
Right.
It's always been a thing.
And that leads to the third question that I have about the Astros managing their lineup.
There's a third.
You just said his name.
A roommate.
Why can't the Astros try Aledmys Diaz in more outfield spots than just left field? He's played 19 games in the outfield this year, one in right field, 18 in left field. But in his last 26 games, he's 30 for 95, 10 doubles, 7 home runs, 8 walks, 14 strikeouts. Like, those are phenomenal numbers that he's had. I get that he can be your utility backup for just
utility
about...
Utility unicorn is what we call him.
He seriously is. He's been incredible. Like, center field's the only position he hasn't played this year, and catcher, too. He's been incredible on that front this year. I don't think it's crazy to try him in right field. Do you think that the guy's really slow or something like that? Do you think that he doesn't have the range, that he doesn't have the arm? I'd like to know the logic behind not using him here. You have won the American League West, like, going away. If you're concerned about overtaking the Yankees, you're like me. You're doing it for selfish reasons.
Do you think that James Click has anything to do with any of this and that it's statistical number type deal?
Maybe.
That's just a question, by the way. I have no idea.
I don't know, but it does feel like Dusty Baker would have some sort of autonomy because of his seniority in baseball to make whatever lineup decisions that he is making. And I just think that right now the outfield is a very tricky situation, but more guys should be getting opportunities out there. Trey Mancini should be playing more. The idea of Aledmys Diaz in more than just the left field role should be thought about. And I just don't want to see Jake Myers anymore.
Jake Myers hater. There was another game last night. And it was a lengthy game.
Yes.
It was a pitcher's duel. And with that, we start our Mariners Watch.
Mariners Watch.
A radio show host in Seattle called Paul Gallant.
2022, August 10th. I saw a homeless person take a crap at my kid's school today.
What?
He made eye contact with me.
You have a kid.
A person with green hair yelled at me for not wearing a mask on the light rail. Julio Rodriguez didn't even play last night for my beloved Mariners. Our other great prospect, Jared Kelnick, is hitting 127 and struck out twice. Playing the Yankees, you think that's all going to add up to a big fat L, huh? You thought wrong.
That's the pause for me.
My Mariners are on a roll, and you might think you're safe. Your ivory tower, high above Gotham. Looking down at the rest of the masses. The Mariners are coming. You best watch out after last night's 1-0 win over the Yankees. Sure, yeah, you tied the Yankees. Yeah, you overtook the Yankees. But guess who's in fourth place in the Grand American League standings? It's your boy, the Mariners. Mariners, watch out.
Things aren't great in Seattle, as you can see on the way to the stadium. Our narrator had a rough day. But
did that really happen?
I actually did once make eye contact with somebody who was dropping a toozy out in the open. Yeah.
A lot of homeless people on the way into Minute Maid, too.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
I also have been spoken to before by someone wearing not green hair, but blue hair for not having a mask on outside. That was
fun. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
Look,
it was a fun game last night.
They're a tough team.
It was a pitcher's duel. Garrett Cole, we saw starting for the Yankees.
He looked
good. What, 12, 13 innings?
Mm-hmm. Luis Castillo, their new acquisition, he looked fantastic out there. Look, they will be annoying if you match up against them in the playoffs, and I would put them pretty high up as far as teams I would not want to play in the playoffs. The Astros obviously had the upper hand this year, but that is a team that will make every single one of those games close, and I would prefer to absolutely destroy and dominate and never think twice about the team that the Astros are playing against in the playoffs.
The Astros play the Rangers again tonight, and then they play them tomorrow as well. Tomorrow's afternoon game is actually on YouTube TV. Fun fact. Some news from the NFL that I wanted to get to. We weren't able to get to it in our NFL segment. Marshawn Lynch arrested with a DUI. And he is technically a Seattle Seahawks, I think, correspondent with their...
They're using him in some way, shape, or form.
Special correspondent is his title, but this is a bummer, man. I love Marshawn Lynch. This isn't the first time that he's gotten in trouble. I think his potential to be the funny guy, but still be really informative on, I don't know what it would be, Amazon pregame, postgame, Fox. Anytime he does something on social, it's hilarious. So, yeah, I hope he can get this together.
Look, it's a simple, dumb mistake. it's a mistake that can have absolutely devastating consequences if the wrong thing happens. I just wonder about a guy with a lot of money feeling the need to drive home when you got a ton of money. Yeah, that Uber bill might be a little expensive, but I just do not understand.
And Uber is cheaper than a DUI. A black car is cheaper than a DUI. So, yeah, I hope he's able to get it together. But I saw that pop up, and I thought that it was noteworthy that Marshawn Lynch getting in some trouble again. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the Texans released the unofficial depth chart. We're going to break it down. Plus, what's your Wine Wednesday? I've got mine ready, and we'll let you know coming up.
But first, I got to tell you about my friends at BUSR.com/ESPN. Look, you want to bet on things? Guess what? Make a deposit. Because BUSR.com/ESPN, they are going to double your deposit within the first 24 hours of signing up to $2,500. And they have all sorts of ways for you to bet on, well, just every single nightly game, futures bets, a casino, horse racing, and much more, plus a props builder that allows you to create your own prop bets. There's a weekly newsletter, too, with the sports calendar of the week. There's trivia to earn prizes and live betting on all of your favorite sports with customer support 24/7. Fast payouts, and again, they will double your first deposit. Go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now to start placing your bets. BUSR.com/ESPN.
Sports talk in Houston is terrible, except for ESPN 97.5. Never listen to any other station. ESPN 97.5 is not terrible. And that's why I love these guys. Knuckleheads.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So Lovie Smith said that we shouldn't look too much into the unofficial depth chart. He said that a mere few minutes ago per the media folks out there at Texans training camp. But they did release the PR team released the depth chart ahead of the Saints preseason game. Did anything stand out to you guys when you saw this? Anything surprising?
Yes. Because generally in the past, we're used to the semantic depth chart that's not going to tell you a damn thing, where you're going to see, I'd say in the era of Bill O'Brien in particular, everything where veterans are up front. Jalen Petrie and Derek Stingley are already starters on this depth chart.
That is anti-O'Brien.
Very anti-O'Brien.
Quote, rookies don't know anything.
Well, guess what? Rookies need to play to learn things. And I don't want to make too much of this, but if you've been out at training camp, even though Stingley is definitely, I think, operating with a learning curve, Stingley is out there with the ones. Jalen Petrie is out there with the ones. And I think this is a reason to get excited. You're actually going to see the young players out there. And it's a shame that Christian Harris is banged up, that Kenyon Green is banged up, because I think that we would see both of those guys also in the starting lineup if they were healthy. Damian Pierce is the one that I wonder about his placement on it, because he's listed as third. He's behind Marlon Mack. He's behind Rex Burkhead. There's like a seniority thing going on there. But I saw a quote that came out of Texans training camp today. Jalen Petrie had this to say about Damian Pierce: if he's in your way, he will run you over and tell you about it. Everything about Pierce has been very, I think, exciting to watch and to see. So that's the other thing where, like, I'm not sure if he's actually the third running back on the depth chart.
No, and you know what it may be? They may start Marlon Mack week one because he played for the Colts and he wants to restart his career and get that revenge game and then play around with it. Because it says Marlon Mack or Rex Burkhead.
Right.
And then Damian Pierce. I think they're willing.
They love Burkhead too.
Yeah, and they really do. I mean, especially the Casario Easterby regime. They like Burkhead a lot. So we'll see what they do with that. I thought that was interesting as well. Jonathan Owens, a.k.a. Simone Biles Boo, getting the start at safety as well. Again, this is unofficial ahead of the Saints preseason game. But in the past, do you remember when this used to get released and it was a thing every year with the Texans because we couldn't believe that they had certain people in certain positions? This at least seems logical. I always forget Kyle Allen, even though I've been out at training camp. Kyle Allen is with the Texans now, and he's the backup per their depth chart. So a couple of different things that are interesting about it, but overall, I don't think it was anything too unexpected.
I sort of want to have a depth chart where there is no backup quarterback. This is not going to be a fun year if Davis Mills gets hurt.
It's the old, I forgot what offensive coordinator for the Colts said it, where they asked, like, why doesn't, like, Jim Sorgi get more reps in practice? And he pointed at Peyton Manning and goes, if he gets hurt, we're bleeped, and we don't practice for bleeped.
That's right.
Which, I've never heard that. He was 100% right.
That's a great line.
Because when Peyton Manning got hurt, they were bleeped.
Yeah. And then they were so bleeped that they got Andrew Luck out of it, which is the most messed up part of all, that they lucked into, literally, Andrew Luck, the stupid horseshoe on the side of their ugly-ass helmets, which they stole from Baltimore.
Well, you know what? Their luck, pun intended, is over, okay? Because I think Matt Ryan might be good, but he ain't Peyton Manning.
Their luck ran out.
Their luck ran out.
On the team.
Their luck.
Just like when luck ran out on them.
Just, okay.
And then Josh McDaniels ran out.
It's incredible how you just know how to trigger me.
Well, listen, I am an expert at making fans of specific teams very mad.
Expert irritant, Paul Gallant.
A radio host in Seattle named Paul Gallant.
What is happening? What is going on? I'll tell you what's going on. Paul Gallant has a lot of random vendettas against sports team across our great nation.
I think the Colts have dropped their past 8 season openers, so the Texans may have a shot. But that's what stood out to me about Marlon Mack, is I think it's going to be, I hate the term revenge game. But if you're playing your old team, like, yeah, it's a revenge game.
Mack is back.
Oh, God.
Return of the Mac.
Mac truck!
Oh!
Whoa, what's that from?
I'm
musically challenged. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that a song?
Oh, yeah. Return of the Mac?
What's that? I don't know what that is. I've probably heard it, but I don't know the title of the song.
If Marlon Mack has good game this season, every pun will be made.
Return of the Mac.
If he has one good game.
Mac! More, because that means you'll give him more carries. I'm making bad rhymes still. I've already moved on.
It's okay. I'm just a little bit surprised.
Not a big Mark Morrison fan.
Who's that?
Is he related to Return of the Mac.
Is he related to Jim Morrison?
Absolutely. They're father and son. It is time for our segment which we call Wine Wednesday.
It's Wine Wednesday.
It's the Wine and Cheese Club, gorgeous, where we all get together and vent about what annoys us at work.
On Vanessa and Gallant.
What's your Wednesday wine?
Wine.
Well, here's my wine. Dates are expensive. It's really all I got. You know, it's one thing to buy one drink or two drinks or something like that, but it's quite a lot to just see what the itemized receipt is at the end of a night out. I gotta find a way to stop going on dates that like venture into the venture towards $150.
That's unthinkable to me.
I know.
I've gone out with a couple of wealthier guys, and that's not a big deal to them, but like, I wouldn't ever. Okay,
but
so
you can't look bad with the date, you know? You can't look stingy, you can't look cheap.
But if you like her, why not just take her to Chili's?
You know what?
Applebee's, that song.
What a
two
great,
for 20.
Well, no, not Applebee's. That's disgusting.
No,
but
Applebee's
Chili's
is one of my favorite date night spots. 2 for $20, are you kidding me?
Unbelievable.
Spinach and artichoke dip to start.
It's the worst thing you've ever said. You said you would take Applebee's over Chili's?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't know what to say.
They're both pretty much the same.
No, they're, oh my God. See, you know how to trigger me. That is outrageous. They are not even close to the same.
No, they're both pretty much the same.
No, they're not.
Half price apps? What does Chili's have?
Presidente's. Chicken Crispers. I got my baby back ribs.
Yeah. And the Fiesta Lime Chicken is at Applebee's. And
I bet they have a lime
the
chicken
banger mozzarella
that's better
sticks
at Chili's.
And the pasta Alfredo with chicken tenders
wow,
on top
things that you can
is
also
at Applebee's?
Find at Chili's?
No.
I'm eating good in the neighborhood. Yeah, keyword hood.
Okay, well, you keep taking your dates to Steak 48 and spending $300.
I didn't even take her there.
Why? Where'd you go?
What's it called? Moxie's.
Oh, I love Moxie's.
Moxie's is great.
Moxie's is a great spot.
But I was also like, I don't remember the drinks being this expensive last time.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But you guys split the bill.
Radio salary problems. We did split the bill. I was just like, damn, like I don't, and I'll give her credit for actually offering.
There you go.
Yeah.
I think the key is that you only go out with women that you like, which I know is a problem for you.
Which is everyone.
And you only go to the expensive places with people that you actually see a future with.
I agree.
Start out right out at the gate at somewhere like Moxie's.
I agree.
All right, here's... Actually, Sean, you go ahead first.
All right. My grandmother and aunt came into town. They live, 4 hours away. So I don't get to see them super often. And they came to town. It's always great to see them.
Yeah.
Until, like, the critiques start happening.
Ooh.
And I almost take... I don't take, like, actual issue with it. It's more annoying than anything about, like, hair's getting kind of long.
Yeah,
girlfriend? What's the situation there?
Ooh, that's the worst one for relatives.
Yeah. And all that. And then at the end, it's, why don't you come visit us very much? I'm like, well, because I get freaking interrogated for 48 hours every time you're here. So this is just, if we have any aunts, uncles, grandparents listening, just take it easy interrogation. Just be cool about it. Bring up a funny video you saw. Bring up, I don't know, Dan Campbell.
Politics, something like that.
Yeah, something super light. Talk about abortion or something. But, that's my Wine Wednesday. Still great to see him, but, would have been even better if I didn't get harangued.
Here's my wine. Not everything is a tippable service. We are at a weird point in our society where every time you put your credit card in, the little iPad-looking thingy, it says, would you like to tip 15% for fine service, 18% for good, or 70,000% for great? And I'm like, I'm at a coffee shop, and of course I'll tip a barista a couple bucks, but like, what do you mean 15% for good? And I get plain coffee, by the way. This is a very important part of the story. I get plain coffee. So the only thing the barista is doing is taking the coffee cup, putting 2 pumps of vanilla syrup, and then giving it to me for
pumps.
Me to go fill up. Yeah, I love a couple.
But
good
how
pumps.
Well did they pump those?
They're
that vanilla
it
in there.
Fine, but it's not like it's some
fine. That's 10%.
Hear what you did there.
Macchiato
pumps.
Everything takes tips now. It's unbelievable.
You are right about this. This is a COVID creation.
And they're like, well, you need to take care of us because of inflation. No, your employer needs to take care of you because of inflation.
That's true. It's
not on me. It's on the big corporations.
Especially if it's a place where the coffee is just being like pumped from one of those dispenser things.
Correct.
Too, that like you could essentially get in the break room of most offices.
What? Or just it's at the most random places now, because coffee shops I will tip at, but you'll go to like an auto store, a clothing shop or something, and they'll have a jar that's like, help us, blah, blah, blah. It's like, what?
You're getting happy feet in the pocket like Peyton Manning when you're seeing that tip option. You got to be like Tom Brady in the pocket, stand in, and leave no tip.
Why don't you just take another middle-aged woman on a date and quit critiquing Tom Brady and Peyton Manning?
I'm just saying, you have to have the balls, Vanessa, to just do no tip.
You know what? Sometimes the tip works. Sometimes you don't do a tip, but...
I'm with you.
Just the tip?
This has been a recent thing for me. Where there have been certain places where I'm like, I know I don't need to give a tip here. I don't give it. I went to a fish market not too long ago, and they did a great job of service. But I know like there was a tip option at the end, and I was like, I know that I'm not supposed to give them a tip.
No.
I know that I'm not. But all of these places now with the little credit card thing that turns around on the iPad, as you said, they all have the tip option. You have to know which ones you should and which ones you shouldn't. And someone needs to create like an unwritten book of written rules for that.
Especially when it's like a carryout thing. So it's like, I just pulled up and my food is here. I have no idea how the service was.
Right.
All I've done is
great
pay for
question.
It.
If
wait in line and pay for it.
Yeah. For to-go food at a restaurant, I'll do like 10% Outback or whatever, because I used to work in the to-go thing. They have to bag it up. They have to, I'll do 10%.
But if they bring it out to your car, I would get it. If they don't, then I don't.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if I'm
Chipotle's
just walking
a great
up,
example.
Yes.
I'm like, I'm not tipping at Chipotle.
Yeah.
You put together my thing. You make an hourly salary. You're not coming up to my table, getting me drinks, getting my order, building a rapport with me. Like, I'm not greedy. It's just that I'm not tipping you. Chipotle needs to pay you the extra dollar.
Making the burrito, or at Mod Pizza, making the pizza, like, that is your job.
It
like,
is your literal job.
That is
correct.
What the salary's for.
And I was a server for 5 years, by the way. So, like, I worked in the industry. I understand. I just don't get it. It's on these corporations to pay more. Stop asking me to tip at like a donut shop. You just put my donuts in a bag. You didn't serve me.
You're supposed to do the right thing, Vanessa.
I can't. You
do
know what?
The right thing.
That's
do
what
the right
tell
thing.
You.
Do the right thing and get TGS insurance. If you own your home, listen to me. because I'm going to make it the cheapest it's ever been. And it doesn't have to be a hassle. TGS Insurance is a new system. It instantly shops over 36 carriers. You get a full quote in 15 seconds. Here's what you do. You take out your phone. You text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. They ask for your home address. You just text it back, and within 15 seconds, you get full quotes. This is a legit company. It sounds too good to be true, but their online rating is almost perfect, and their average customer from last year, $870 saved on home insurance. So again, I know it's kind of a hassle, but it doesn't have to be anymore thanks to TGS. One more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
According to Twitter, Cal McNair is currently grilling barbecue for Texans fans out at Texans training camp. Man of the people, Cal McNair.
He has made himself a lot more accessible.
He's been there every day. Camp.
He has been. He and his wife have been roaming up and down the sideline, yucking it up with the media types.
They have.
Does it feel like he would cook good barbecue?
No, but I also wouldn't cook good barbecue either.
Yeah, well, this is throwing a stone in a glass house. But, like, how about we just pay for some professionals?
I don't think.
Thanks, Cal.
I don't think any billionaire is a good cook. Because they don't cook their own food.
And he's the son of a billionaire.
Correct. Like, he never had to cook.
Oh, it was hard at the beginning.
But you got nothing to do. I mean, you're probably bored cooking every now and then.
He plays video games.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. Shout out to Mike Silver's podcast. We are learning more about one NFL team on Hard Knocks, and that is the
cooking is just
Detroit
like
Lions. Let's start out with a certain speech given by Dan Campbell. And it involves it's only a couple of seconds, but it involves some body parts.
Yes, it does. This was a long speech.
It
doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass.
It's like a little violent.
Incredible. It doesn't matter if you have one ass cheek and three toes. I will beat your ass. Here's what I really needed from this clip. I needed the cameras to switch to the players to see their reaction when he said this. Or maybe they're just used to it because it's Dan Campbell.
Did you see one of the players who was sitting completely enthralled by what Campbell was saying?
I didn't get to watch the whole episode.
I tweeted it out. There was one guy who had this look on his face like actually he was going to go raid a nearby village after Dan Campbell gave him that pump-up speech. Like he looked like he was about to pull out an axe and a torch and like light a bunch of huts on
fire. That macho stuff works for some people, though. That football meathead, I'm not saying it works for everybody. I don't know how many people our age it works with. But if you have that old-school mentality, well, maybe it works for you.
I think I would like Dan Campbell, but if I start losing, I think I would get very annoyed.
It's funny you say that because I feel the same way about Mike McDaniel. You know how Mike McDaniel from the Dolphins has all the clever jokes? He talks about Yeezys. He does the rap.
Look at me, I have glasses.
I think that would get really annoying.
It's like, what? What was that all
about? I think that would get annoying if you're losing. If you are losing, you want a little bit more maturity. So there were a lot of different moments on Hard Knocks. Let's stick with Dan Campbell for now. He had another motivational speech. This one happened outside at practice. It's a little bit longer.
It was a rough practice. Yeah. They were not happy.
Did you watch
at
all
the
of,
end
it?
Of it? I watched all but the last 7 minutes.
I wasn't
of it.
Able to watch it because of the Astros game, and I didn't watch it this morning. Set the scene here. So they have a rough practice.
Right. They had a bad practice, and Campbell was not happy at the end of it, at least based off of the way that he spoke to them. And here's Dan Campbell, very emotional, sounding like he's almost crying, talking to his team.
All I think about is you guys. That's all I think about, man. That's all I think about is you guys and how I'd set you up for the best possible advantage I can give you to have a season. I swear to you, man. I just need you to trust me. That's all. Please. Let's be better tomorrow.
Man, I want somebody to love me the way that Dan Campbell loves his team.
He is pleading for trust. It's got to be earned.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
And I think if you are a veteran that's played with a bunch of teams and you're on this Lions team, you're probably thinking to yourself, like, we're probably going to suck this year.
So if you're older, it comes across, you're saying, as like almost shtick.
The problem is with these cameras and these guys' faces, I can understand why somebody would get a little bit skeptical about all of the attention that is now being paid to Dan Campbell. Because Campbell is entertaining, but that does not make him a good football coach. There's another moment not too long afterwards where Jamal Williams, who is also, I think, a very entertaining running back when he gave a speech right afterwards, and he sounded like Dan Campbell was crying. Jamal Williams did cry at the end of this speech that he gave his teammates.
They had him on good... Wait, do we have the audio for me?
No, I didn't grab it because I saw this morning, and we can play it maybe like later next time. Because
there was a pregnant pause. I didn't know if we had the audio.
No. It's just one of those things, though.
Was his emotion about?
Like, he was just mad that they didn't practice well, and I don't know though. Like, it kind of felt contrived.
It feels like a team of psychos.
Yeah,
but like in the best, like most, like meatheady way. But it's just a whole bunch of guys that are just crying all over the place about football.
So to you guys, is it genuine what we're seeing from the Lions? Because they are known as the team with the most characters, not only on the players, but coaching staff, because they have a team full of former, like Deuce Staley and Aaron Glenn. You saw some fun moments.
That's
clip online.
That is by far the best part of this.
Because I buy that.
I do,
like,
too.
I buy two former NFL players who are now coaches talking smack.
So they're best friends, and multiple times Deuce Staley's like, I love Aaron Glenn, but I want to whoop his ass. And if you see at practice, I'm not going to lie, this would make practicing fun.
Yes.
Like, the two coordinators have been, Deuce Staley is instigating most of it, but Glenn will fire back. There's a part where Deuce Staley was walking around Aaron Glenn in a circle, and Aaron Glenn was like, what are you doing? And Deuce Staley's like, I'm doing what a vulture does when he walks in circles to prey. If my two coordinators are doing that, that would make practice fun. I think it instills a little bit of competitiveness, because you actually buy into the idea that they are, like, they want to kick each other's ass. They're buddies, but they, like, are getting into it. I love this kind of buddy cop dynamic that they have, and I hope that more of this series of Hard Knocks, this season of Hard Knocks, features those two. Because I also am a big fan of Aaron Glenn. Aaron Glenn is a former Aggie, for those who don't know, and a guy who I think has been very deserving of a more important assistant coaching title
about Deuce
for a while.
I've known Deuce for 4 years. I met him in when I was doing the NFL Combine, and
he's funny.
I think he's somebody that, you know, deserves a head coaching gig at some point. We'll see if he can get there. Especially the Lions, it's kind of tough. But there was a D's joke. This is actually how the episode of Hard Knocks ended.
Come on, D's. D's nuts.
I know I'm 12, but those never get old. Yeah, they beef up a little bit of it. Aiden Hutchinson had quite the performance. Were you guys able to see that? That's actually the first clip from the episode that I saw.
Yeah. I think that the Hutchinson part of this is going to be interesting, too. Because that was the last thing I saw before I left for work today on Hard Knocks, was Aiden Hutchinson, a super montage where the coaches were like, this guy's legit. This guy is legit. And then they showed him like doing all sorts of drills. I'm curious to know if he's going to be awesome. And there is a part of me that's always going to wonder what would happen if he fell to the Texans. I did see him sing.
Billy Jean. I thought he did good.
He did. He had to pause in the middle of it. I personally would have preferred him to do the Chris Cornell version of Billie Jean.
God.
Have you heard it?
I have not.
Oh, it's sick. Anything Chris Cornell does,
yeah,
by definition.
Rest in peace,
amazing.
Right?
Yes, he did. He passed away.
Yeah. Aiden Hutchinson, I liked Mike Golic Jr.'s tweet where I guess apparently the number one rule of picking your rookie song, because every NFL team does this, you got to pick something that the room knows. And everybody knew Billie Jean. Everybody got hyped. He really got into it. I enjoyed seeing that personality from Aiden Hutchinson. Overall thoughts on Hard Knocks. Will you watch this season?
I will watch another episode. I will watch another episode. I don't know if I can handle this much Dan Campbell. And again, there's this speech that he gave, and it just reminded me of in the movie The Other Guys, when Will Ferrell.
I love that movie.
And Mark Wahlberg, they're going back and forth about like lions versus
tunas.
I'm a
tunas. Peacock. You gotta let me fly.
Well, we actually do have the clip of this. This is Dan Campbell talking about how like he wants his lions to drag other teams into the water.
There's a number of teams, as it equates to, just bear with me, the ocean, right? There's a number of teams, they just barely get to the water. You got to get in the water to compete. The number of teams, that's all they get to. Then there's a number of teams, they are in the shallows. And they come in a hurry, man, and they are all over your ass. They're all over your ass, and they strike and move. They strike and move, and they're dangerous, man. You just got to get a hold of them, though. If you can just get a hold of them, and you start dragging their ass out to the deep, dark abyss, you can drown them. And that's what we got to be. That's who we have to be. Because that's our domain. That is our domain. Because we'll tread water as long as it takes to bury you.
Yeah, you're a lion. You're making reference to dragging things out into the ocean. I don't know if you really want to get into a battle with the tuna. If I'm a player and I'm hearing that, I am probably getting annoyed about a minute into that.
What if you're a rookie and this is all you know? Like, you come into the league and you hear these speeches given by Dan Campbell and you're like, this is the league?
Especially, I mean, Aiden Hutchinson went from Jim Harbaugh right. to Dan Campbell. He's like, oh, I guess really it is like any given Sunday, like the movie.
It's just cartoon characters.
Yeah, oh, it's just like Friday Night Lights. Cool.
The itch is right in front of your face!
He is exactly what you would think of a meathead football coach.
Yeah, I remember when he was the interim coach in Miami after one of their failed coaches got fired. Probably, I think it was like because of the Richie Incognito thing. And they promoted him to be the interim coach. And they won, like, I don't know, they went like 5-3 to end the season or something. And everyone was like, yeah, it's just so much a different energy than Joe Philbin. Like, they're playing Metallica at practice now. It's, you know, he's giving all these speeches crying. It's like, wow. And he didn't, like, move into the head coach's office. He's still in the tight ends coach's
office.
Who
was it? The Dolphins beat the Vikings last year. Wasn't it the Vikings? It was somebody, and you would have thought they won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of energy from Dan Campbell. I may check out the full episode. TBD on if I'll watch the full season, because I think Hard Knocks edits too much good stuff out. But we will see. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the latest on the Kevin Durant situation, plus our Garbage Time segment. That's next.
You're going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
It's going to be weird to hear that associated with the Big Ten, but we do expect to hear CBS college football music for the Big Ten.
Yeah, so CBS just paid like $300 million to get Big Ten broadcasted, specifically like the number two Big Ten broadcast of the week, which could feature some big games like Michigan-USC on certain weeks or something like that.
The main one will still be on Fox, is my understanding, right?
I believe so. Okay.
Fox basically like owns the Big Ten.
Right.
Like
that's
the SEC and ESPN are together, and then Fox
packages,
and the Big Ten
right.
are together. It's like the Bloods and Crips.
ESPN, exactly. That's funny. ESPN must take the SEC theme. They have to. They have to pay for it. I'm sorry. If I hear the SEC on CBS theme for a Big Ten game, it's like a 19-6 Purdue versus Illinois game in November, I am just going to lose my mind.
Well, Fox for college basketball uses the old NBC or NBA on NBC for like Seton Hall versus whatever Providence.
Hell
you just
yeah.
hear it on a Thursday night.
But we've been without that song for so long that I don't care how I hear it. I just want to hear it. Where with this, I'm sorry, I don't want to watch some slow-ass Big Ten football.
Indiana versus Maryland.
Yeah,
like
yeah, I forgot.
Indiana versus anyone.
Rutgers. Yeah,
coming from an Indiana fan.
Rutgers.
Hashtag pain.
Versus
UCLA.
I'm sorry. I do declare, as a Southern gentleman, if the North takes away something else of ours, I do declare we may have to secede from these here United States of America. Can I hear some music? I will pick up the stars and bars and I will challenge for up to the North, up to Indianapolis,
up to Chicago,
where the good people are,
and up to Ann Arbor, and I will plant this flag there as we do declare we will take our song back. For we, the South, shall stand as one and rise again.
You wouldn't last 5 minutes in Indiana.
No, I wouldn't. Cause
is this another act of Northern aggression?
It is. I actually think it is. Look, I mean, we're in a pretty divisive time these days, Vanessa, Sean. If we are to preserve our union, I believe a gesture of goodwill should be made from the South, for the South by the North.
What do you think that gesture should be?
I think it should be a relinquishment, if you will, a surrender of the SEC on CBS theme.
There you go. Southern Paul has spoken.
Colonel Paul E. Lee.
Apparently, it's not just Kevin Durant that doesn't like the Nets management. Quote, according to the New York Post, Kyrie Irving hates these guys. He feels that Nash is terrible and Marks is bad.
Well, who cares what Kyrie thinks? Why are they asking him? Oh, boy. They're trying so hard right now to make something happen, too, because the Nets also said, like, yeah, we're talking with the Pelicans. Well, the Pelicans probably called you and you asked for too much and they probably hung up. And they're trying to generate a market that's not going to exist.
Never forget, good point, Kyrie Irving did say, I don't really see us having a head coach. KD could be a head coach. I could be a head coach. So I guess the foreshadowing was there. We played that clip ad nauseum because we couldn't believe that somebody actually suggested this. In Kyrie's mind, he doesn't think that they need a head coach. He probably doesn't think they need a GM either.
Well, there's no such thing, man, as coaches. It's an ancient construct. You know, it kind of reminds me like of slavery. Like, I'm sure something that he would say. 100%.
Oh, that it reminds him. You know what, though?
He would say that.
You know what we hear every year before the NFL Combine and things like this? It's like the optics of white men looking down on black men and all that.
That is more understandable than anything that comes out of Kyrie Irving's mouth, right? I mean, this is something I legitimately could envision. Like, look, I don't need a boss. The world that I live in, everyone is equal say and equal power.
It reminds me of the time it came out after he left Boston that before, like, a film study, he walked up to Brad Stevens and asked him, what does the word government mean to you?
And Brad Stevens
was like, what? We play the Pacers tomorrow.
Yeah, Indiana native. God, I can't even imagine how he dealt with that. How would you deal with Kyrie or Kevin Durant?
That is like one of the great odd couples, I think, of all time.
100%.
Kyrie Irving and Brad Stevens.
Brad Stevens and Joe Shane of the Giants and a couple other guys that are in high power positions, front offices, all went to the same small college in Greencastle, Indiana, called DePauw, DePauw.
Yeah, I remember that school.
Small private school, but it produces a lot of powerhouses. Yeah, I can't see Brad Stevens dealing with Kyrie Irving in a really efficient manner. Because, like, you can't figure it out. Guys like Brad Stevens have made a living figuring people out and adjusting accordingly.
And guys like Kyrie don't exist in DePauw, Indiana.
No, none. They don't exist in Indiana at all. Guys that are deep thinkers like that.
No school at a college fair tried to sell me harder on themselves than DePauw did to me.
DePauw with a W or
DePauw
L?
With a W.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Which job fair?
This was at a college fair in at Tropicana Field in St. Pete, Florida in 2006.
You know what? DePauw is all about fraternities. No offense.
And it kind of sounds like DePauw.
Yeah. You weren't in a frat?
No.
He's offended that I thought he was in a frat. Doesn't Paul come across as a little fratty?
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, not shocked.
I understand.
Hey, bro, I'm a Sigma Kappa Epsilon.
I understand. No, we found ways, and we did rush, but we just wrote down every single person's name at a frat that we went to, and we would go to the door and just say names until we got
into
one. That's
incredibly smart.
And the other thing that we did was we would go into the backyards of some of these frats, and we would smoke out in a circle, and we'd wait for someone of the guards to say, hey, like one of the, like, the frat, like, freshman guards to come out and say, hey, what are you guys doing? We would offer him some weed. Next thing we knew, we were in the frat.
So there you go.
This was 15 for 15. Like, we would just go into the backyards of frats, and that's how we would get
So you didn't even need to join one?
Nope.
All right, it is time for our segment we call Garbage Time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
I'm actually really disturbed by this story. Facebook's new artificial intelligence can tell lies and insult you, so don't trust it. Meta said, quote, users should be aware that despite our best attempts to reduce issues, the bot may be inappropriate, rude, or make untrue or contradictory statements.
Yeah, so I guess it's basing its language off of what it sees online, which is mostly hate speech and angry people yelling on social media. So it's becoming like us.
Isn't there, like, how's this new from, like, bots that are on Twitter and stuff? What, it lies? Spreads misinformation? Interesting. And insults people? Interesting. Like, how's this new technology? This feels like it's good old-fashioned
so
bot
So a bot isn't a real person?
No, it's like those things where if you do a customer service chat online where it's generally a higher intelligence version of this where it can actually answer your questions.
That scares me.
But at the same time, though, I mean, what's it actually going to do? We're not quite at the verge of Skynet yet, but we are getting there, and they will kill us all. That's why
scary.
I just, whenever I can, guys, I, like, am abusive with my Alexa. I'm getting in my licks now before the robots from Boston Dynamic, once they're powered by, you know, the folks at Amazon, once they, like, start, you know, enacting curfews at, like, 7 o'clock across our United States of America.
A nanny cam in California caught a woman putting Drano in her husband's lemonade. It was a California dermatologist arrested on suspicion of poisoning her husband, caught on the nanny cam inside their $2.7 million home.
He must have known it was coming.
You think so?
Right. Did he catch it or did somebody?
Good question.
The babysitter catch it?
Well, it was caught on camera.
Yeah.
Well, he has, like, his house has cameras and stuff in it. And so part of the camera was her, she was in frame dumping Drano into lemonade.
What I'm wondering is who was the one that saw the camera first? Like, does this husband go through all of the video?
He ended up feeling sick, so he went back and watched the camera is what it looks like.
But that's, I mean, that's pretty interesting that he thought that quickly to go back and watch the camera.
Yeah.
100% suspicious.
He was already suspicious, yeah. And also, you can drink, like, a little bit of Drano and not die.
I learned something.
He said
today.
It left him badly
don't do it,
injured.
Kids.
He left.
Yeah, don't do it.
Don't turn that into a trend on TikTok.
But it's because they live below the poverty line. They only have a $2.7 million home in California. I mean, they're poor. They're struggling.
Yeah, they're definitely not actors. Actors can't buy a house that night.
She needed that life insurance
money.
Shout
out to Sydney Sweeney.
That is another episode of Vanessa and Gallant in the Books coming up next on 97.5 and 92.5. Killer Bees, Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham. See you later.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hi, everybody. It's James and Andy here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two-fourths of a group of people who love facts, and we love to find new facts, and we come here every week and tell each other about them. For instance, Andy, did you know that one of the world's oldest cycling road races is getting much harder because people keep stealing the road?
I want to know more already, but I'm instead going to tell you my new fact, which is that some ancient coffins from the 17th century have faces.
The coffins have faces.
It's really creepy.
Not just on the inside.
No.
Wow. If you like the sound of those facts, or indeed facts in general, then come and find us. No Such Thing as a Fish, wherever you get your podcasts.